This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring a discussion on World Cerebral Palsy Day. The participants are Professor Shefali Gulati, in charge Child Neurology Division, AIIMS, Delhi, and Gaurav Dhamanlal, anchor.
Hello and welcome to our program. Disability rights in India are undergoing a transformative shift propelled by the government's commitment to inclusivity and empowerment for persons with disabilities. In fact, this movement is supported by various policies and initiatives aimed at ensuring that every individual, regardless of ability, can access opportunities and participate fully in society. In fact, under the aegis of the Ministry of Social Justice and Welfare, the World Cerebral Palsy Day was celebrated today. And once again, it served as a platform to amplify the voices of individuals living with cerebral palsy or CP. This year's theme, hashtag Uniquely CP. It celebrated the uniqueness of the cerebral palsy community, their interests, passions and identities. And in fact, showing that they do not solely are defined by their disability. We are privileged to have with us Professor Shefali Gulati from the All India Institute of Medical Sciences, Delhi. She's the in charge of the Child Neurology Center and Department over there. Professor Shefali, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Wanting to understand from you right at the beginning, Professor Shefali, you know, in fact, when we look at people with disabilities, the layperson's understanding of cerebral palsy in particular is severely limited. So just a little background of probably the primary cause of it, and what are the ramifications or the repercussions when somebody has this? How do we identify this?
That's very important to understand. But before proceeding further, I wanted to make one statement. You know, there is a medical condition any individual will have. And now we're talking about children. I'm being a pediatric neurologist talking about children. You have a medical condition that becomes a disability because of the condition and your environment. Environment includes both the physical environment as well as people around. So the attitude of people around you and whether you have accessible surroundings or not, all that will make a medical condition into a disability.
Right.
Next, your question is cerebral palsy. Cerebral palsy is not a disease entity in oneself. It is a neurodevelopmental condition in which there is a static one-time insult to the developing brain, which may be fetal brain during pregnancy or during the time of delivery or thereafter within the first 2 years, but the damage is one time. That may be due to any issue. And the most important preventable cause, that is birth asphyxia in our country. So very important to have deliveries in the hospitals and to prevent this birth asphyxia or to have trained birth attendants if there's delivery in the villages, if they have, you know, they can't reach the hospital at that particular point of time. So you keeping in mind the mother, pregnant mothers should be followed up appropriately and all the problems which come during the pregnancy should be taken care of besides the immunization and the diet and supplements, etc. And then preventing the birth asphyxia part is that then if you're having jaundice in the neonatal period, that has to be treated because jaundice, the bilirubin can cause a damage to the brain, which can cause, you know, twisting kind of CP. That's a discarnating CP in which you have twisting postures and hearing loss. And then, you know, any kind of infection should be treated because brain infection can take place and you may have CP. You may have any meningoencephalitis leading to CP and any head injury. Children keep falling from beds, keep falling from roofs, keep falling from stairs. All those are preventable causes. So any of these conditions will lead to cerebral palsy, which is a one-time insult to a developing brain. This is developing brain which has got plasticity and can regenerate too. But the extent of damage and the sequelae thereof will be individualized from a case-to-case basis and may be there. Like if you have a basically only a premature delivery, they may have slight increased tone in the lower limbs. Cognitively, they may be preserved. Maybe that's spastic, you know, those diplegias. But on the other hand, if you have severe birth asphyxia, you may have severe spastic tightness is there and spastic quadriparesis means all the four are affected. They may have, you know, vision and hearing impairments, have epilepsy, feeding problems, may need gastrostomy tube feedings, you know, gastrostomy maybe have to be made for the stomach. They may have hearing and vision and all this twisting postures, tightness, many, many other issues can take place. So you can have two different extremes from a mild to the severe, depending on the damage and the sequelae thereof.
So what one is hearing you say is that one is, of course, in the neonatal period or just after birth, and also that...
Or intrauterine, and up to 2 years, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that means up to 2 years, if a child has a severe fall or a head injury, which what you are saying are preventable, then also it can result in this?
Any infection, any stroke also in children, any insult to the brain, anything happening, okay. Which is only one time, right? Meningitis happens, all those things, yeah.
So in a young baby, are these symptoms, what should parents or, new parents look out for to recognize certain symptoms so that, help can be sought at the earliest?
So basically, in the situation where you know that insult has taken place.
Right.
So like an high insult means, so that means there's a high risk. So those high risk newborns have to be closely followed up, as well as the high risk children who have had a fall or whatever, those they have to be followed up closely and seen for problems of, whether they're having, any problems of any epilepsy, they're having any tightness or any twisting posturing, or they have any vision and hearing issue. Any feeding issues. So proactively, you are supposed to look. Actually, there are certain, general movements which are seen in certain early part of the infancy, which you can, now they are trying to have home-based videos also and trying to use technology to predict also later on to have CP. But then they have to be monitored. Sometimes what happens is, their milestones will be delayed. So like around 3 months of time, you will have a head control by 6 months, sitting. In about a year, about standing, and the milestones in all the domains, not only motor, but hearing and, communication, all are delayed. Any one or more domain are delayed. So milestones which are there, if they are delayed or any of these other associated problems, or there is, sometimes the tightness is so much that the child will, if you're holding the child from the axilla, and they will just be crossing their limbs like scissors, so scissoring of legs.
Okay.
Or, you may have thumb in palm. You use the thumb to write, right? Thumb is always separate from the rest of the hand. But in these small children, thumb may be inside the palm because of the damage which has taken place. So it's called thumb in palm. So, this fisting which is there. So all these things, may point out. Most of the cerebral palsies we see are spastic. That means they have increased tone. Some of them have a dyskinetic, which is like twisting postures and normal movements. And many of them are mixed. You may have spastic and dyskinetic. Some of them may have looseness, hypotonic, and some may have an imbalance thing with ataxia. But mostly what we see is spastic and dyskinetic and mixed kinds. And depending on the number of limbs involved, because it's a problem which is having the insult in the brain is called they are causing a proper control, which is there. The neuromotor control proper is not there. So either all four limbs are involved, so it's quadriplegic, lower limbs are involved, it's diaplegic. If you have half side of the body, one arm and one leg more affected, it's hemiplegic CP. So like this, different kinds of cerebral palsies.
If you could also, Dr. Shivali, share with us that research and development, where are we in the field of some new advancements, new technology, so that they can live a better quality of life?
Basically, there are three ways where you can prevent them. One is primary prevention, which you prevent from occurring. And, in that situation, you have to have understanding of the cause. So you need to have, all these trained, the deliveries which have to be there in the hospital or the trained birth attendants which are going to be there. So in high-risk patients, you need to have monitoring. We have devices now available for monitoring during labor for the fetal, well-being. So those technologies has come for monitoring of the fetus that time. And that, those head injuries and all those can be prevented. That is primary prevention. And I'm using technology along with telling the prevention as well.
Right.
And the secondary prevention is picking them up early. So that is why I told you about the general movement, which is there in the early infants. Like this, there are many AI-based, algorithms which have been made in which you can, have various symptoms and all various biomarkers are there they are for predicting the ultimate development of cerebral palsy based on the children when they are being followed up. So that is one thing which is there. And then you have a lot of technology which has come up for the tertiary prevention. That tertiary prevention is basically the rehabilitation part. So we have a lot of virtual reality, augmented reality, artificial intelligence based stuff and brain computer interface stuff, lots and robotics have come up in a long way for helping in this. from basically having, you know, like even for hemiplegic CP, what we may say, recently we also have developed two things in along with collaboration with IIT Delhi for virtual reality assist in hemiplegic CP. In hemiplegic CP, when one arm, upper limb and lower limb are working less, we try to restrain the arm which is functioning normally, right? And try to make the child exercise in a playful way from the affected side. So in that, we had a computer with a webcam in front of the child and had a kinect motion sensor which was developed. And then with the help of that, the child was encouraged how to do exercise. They really liked it, interacting with the computer, and that made a lot of change in their improvement. Basically, all these are using the plasticity and trying to get more, getting the function to improve. And that was done some time back. And now we have also done similarly for hemiplegic CP, transcranial magnetic stimulation for, you know, on the contralateral brain. And in that, we have also found beneficial results. So technology is getting advanced. And also in one way, you know, sometimes some conditions look like cerebral palsy, but may have some other genetic treatable causes. So that way, the genomics have come in a way that, you know, you are able to find out which are not exactly CP, but CP mimics, and which may have some treatment implication. So otherwise, because CP is not one disease, it is an entity which can be explained by so many conditions, being a static insult to a developing brain. So technology is advancing for improve all these three aspects.
In fact, no conversation about CP can be complete without understanding about the caregiver. You know, it's always a lot of pressure on the caregiver, and it's also very difficult for the caregiver. So what would be some good caregiving tips, or, you know, some ways in which better care could be provided through a caregiver?
One is that, you know, mostly the caregivers end up being moms, and I think the mom and dad both should pitch in. And otherwise, you know, living in stress for looking after your own child is so much of a stressful for a mom. It's there for the father also, but if the mom is doing nothing but doing this only, then we've seen most of our parents become, mothers become clinically depressed. So we have to tell them, one, that it has to be a family effort, not only the moms. And many times they are made to do, you know, leave the jobs and sit at home and they, you know, and just focus on that. So no, it should be a joint effort, one. Number two, we have to accept the child as the child is. Do not compare the child with anybody else. Don't have to feel guilty about anybody, or don't feel angry about anything. And there should be no blame game, because it's not anybody's fault that the child has a problem. That is one thing. There's a problem. We have to understand, accept, and then help reach the child towards his or her maximum potential, so that he or she can be a fruitful citizen of society and live with dignity, with extreme amount of humanistic aspects to be kept in mind, that each life's dignity is equal. You have to value everybody's dignity, and there has to be no stigma attached. So it will not be only moms alone, but it will be the society at large also, to have to understand and be empathetic, not sympathetic, and try to, you know, pitch in and serve as we can, and maximize their potential. And the acceptance lies within the families itself. We are talking about inclusion in school and society, but I must say, there should be, you know, nobody talks about acceptance in the family. How many such children on wheelchairs have you seen in weddings and birthdays and all? I may ask you.
You're right.
So they have the right to move around and enjoy as well. Every life has to be valued equally.
I think that's really, really powerful, you know, Dr. Shefali, because on this humane and, you know, completely empathetic note, I think a message going out to everybody that, you know, people, children, or even adults with cerebral palsy are a part of us. They're an extension of us. And what is for us is also for them, and acceptance by the family. Very, very powerful words. I think we'd like to conclude on this note. Thank you so much, Professor Shefali Gulati.
Thank you.
For coming onto our program.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me over. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on World Cerebral Palsy Day. The participants were Professor Shefali Gulati, in charge Child Neurology Division, AIIMS, Delhi, and Gaura Dhavanlal, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.